Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. March 5th marks a pivotal moment on the political calendar. It is Super Tuesday. And for the first time, California will hold its primary, along with 15 other states. This first big step in the 2024 election cycle serves as a litmus test for candidates, offering a glimpse into their appeal across California's diverse landscape. On the national stage, California does carry weight, influencing the trajectory of campaigns and setting the tone for the rest of the electoral season. However, there is concern that voter apathy and low enthusiasm for these candidates may shape turnout this year. We have two guests to get us ready and pumped up for the primary, which is 2 months from today. Kim Alexander is the president of the California Voter Foundation, and Mindy Romero is the founder and director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy, which focuses on voter engagement and voting patterns. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Kim, I want to start with you. Why was California's primary moved up to March 5th? Remind us why this happened.
We've had primaries in March in the past. Our last presidential primary was March 3rd, 2020, right before the pandemic. So we kind of got in under the wire with that one. But we moved it up because we wanted California to have a bigger voice in deciding who the president would be. We were finding having the primary in June resulted in most of the decisions already being made by voters in other states and candidates dropping out of the race and voters, you know, having voted for candidates who are no longer considered viable. And that even can still happen in March. So it's no guarantee that it's going to be easier for voters. We did also have a bifurcated primary 1 year where we had the presidential primary in February and then the other elections in June. And that was just terrible. It was expensive in terms of having multiple primaries for counties to pay that cost. And then the voter turnout was really bad. So I think it's good that the downside is, you know, we toggle back and forth. We have presidential primaries in March, non-presidential primaries in June. And the disadvantage of having it in March, which people are feeling now, is, you know, the time that you need to get ready for the election hits right around the holidays. And so it's difficult for election staff, it's difficult for campaigns, and it's difficult for voters.
What are the biggest changes that you want voters to know, given that it's getting moved up?
Well, the biggest change with this election is this is the first presidential primary in California where all registered voters are going to receive a ballot in the mail automatically. And that's a benefit for voters to have that convenience of being able to vote that ballot from the convenience of their own home and not having to go to a voting site. But the downside is that this is a really tricky primary, Vicky. We have partially ajar primary process for presidential primaries. And for voters, what that means is, you know, we have this top two system where in all other primary elections for Congress, for the U.S. Senate, for the legislature, all partisan elections, voters can vote for any candidate of any party. But when it comes to the presidential contest, the one voters care and hear the most about, that rule changes. And the parties have closed their primaries to voters who aren't members of that party. And so some parties like the Democratic Party allow nonpartisan voters to cross over and vote for their candidates if they choose to do so. But the voter has to get the right ballot. And that's where it gets difficult when you mail them all out in advance to make sure that voters are getting their preferred ballot. So there have been a couple changes that have been made recently. There was a bill enacted last year authored by Assembly Member Gail Pellerin, who's chair of the Assembly Elections Committee. AB 292 now requires a voter's ballot who's a nonpartisan voter, no party preference voter, to actually disclose on the ballot itself that that voter has the right to cast a partisan ballot if they choose to do so. So I think that will help a little bit. But I expect there's going to be a lot of ballot shuffling going on. People, you know, voters are notoriously dallying and getting their ballot materials open. They'll wait to the last minute and then they're like, oh my gosh, I don't see any of the candidates I want to vote for on this ballot. So the biggest message to get across is pay attention to what you get in the mail, open your election materials early, get the right ballot that you want to get ahead of time so you can vote for the candidate you want to vote for. And if you want to vote in the Republican primary, you need to re-register to vote. That's something that a lot of people don't understand. So it's not hard to do. There's plenty of time to re-register, but you know, I was looking over what I got in the mail over the holidays that I let sit on my mail pile and saw that I got my crossover ballot notice from Sacramento County because I'm no party preference. And I was supposed to get this in by January 7th and I did not. So I'm already behind in this process.
If it happened to you, it could happen to any voter, Kim.
Yeah. And this is the problem when you have it in March is that, you know, people really aren't paying attention during the holidays to what's going on.
Yeah. And I have been in that boat of waiting until the last minute and it is not fun. It takes a lot of time to kind of like cram everything in there. I guess what advice do you have for just kind of like manageable things we can do, you know, in the mix of all the busyness of life to kind of get us prepared for the primary that hopefully will result in a healthy, a robust turnout?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, one thing to remember is that you have options. You know, if you get a ballot in the mail that isn't the ballot you want to vote, you can go to a voting site and request the ballot that you want. You don't have to use that ballot. So the most important resource for any voter is their county election office. They are staffed by people who are ready to help you. And so if you get stuck and you need help, just call your county election office and ask them to help you. And yeah, make sure you open your materials early. You can also check your voter registration status. That's a really good thing people can do right now. I actually checked mine just before we came on air to make sure mine was up to date and make sure the process all worked because it's been a little while since we've used this tool. But that's on the Secretary of State's website. And you can get to it from our website at calvoter.org. It's right up there in the voter tools section. So check your registration status. Make sure you're registered at your current address. That's a really important thing. You know, for people who are housing unstable, they might want to just plan to vote in person and not worry about that vote by mail ballot and just plan to go to a vote center. You can register to vote at a vote center on the spot. You don't have to be pre-registered.
Finally, I mean, you and I, before I move over to Mindy, and please stay on with us after that, you and I have talked about this in the past, you know, when it comes to election offices and, you know, how stressful and trying it's been in recent years. I mean, obviously we have social media, there's misinformation, there's disinformation. How do you want people to navigate this? Because that likely can pick up this year. It's a big election year.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, you know, we have not seen the big lie go away. There's still a lot of people who make claims about elections that are not true, that are not based on facts. And so, you know, the important thing is to get the facts, to not believe everything that you hear, to go to trusted sources. Again, your elections office is really the primary source. The Secretary of State, Shirley Weber and her staff do a great job getting information out on their website and out to voters. So, you know, go to those sources and also, you know, have fun. I mean, one of my slogans for this election year is to make voting fun again. It has been a really difficult time for everybody involved in elections the last couple of years. And, you know, I want people to remember what this is all about. We're exercising our rights. We have freedom of speech. We get to wear our I voted stickers. I mean, there are a lot of really joyful aspects to the voting process that I want to remind people of, because that's what makes it worth it to go to the effort to cast that ballot and make sure that it gets counted. So, you know, bring the fun back into voting and encourage other people to vote and help someone out if you can. It's not, you know, some people like to say voting's easy, and I'm always reminding people it's not. It's hard. There's a lot of procedures you need to follow. There are a lot of complicated measures on the ballot and choices to make. And so if you can help somebody out with that process, that is really a benefit too.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and I want to bring in Mindy Romero, the founder and director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy. And Mindy's research really focuses on political behavior and voting patterns. Mindy, you and I have talked many, many a times. I mean, voter turnout in California and the United States is not good, and it hasn't been historically. But for this election year, you know, what concerns you? What's kind of bubbling up to the top?
Sure. Good morning again. You know, I really want to start off by just echoing what Kim said. I really appreciate her wanting to focus on the positive. And I think we really do need to, wherever we can, because it has been a difficult few election cycles, right? And a lot of Americans are, if they are following our political landscape, you know, they're concerned, they're sometimes confused, and the stakes are always high when it comes to our democracy. And of course, now as well, very much so. So Wherever we can, we want to focus on that. But the reality is, when we're looking at a primary, this is a very important primary, right? It's a presidential primary. We do often in media conversations and at home, people are focused in on the presidential race. Of course, we want to emphasize that there's a complete ballot, and there are very important state and local races that affect people's everyday lives in many ways. They're even more consequential, right, for everyday folks, for your listeners. I'm concerned about low turnout. We know we are always going to have low turnout in a primary, and that turnout is going to be not representative of the population of eligible voters. So in any given election, as you know, we've talked about this, in California, across the United States, the population of those that actually cast a ballot, even in a high turnout election, is older, it's more affluent, it's more likely to be white, homeowner. It doesn't represent the population, and that has consequences, right, in terms of just the strength of our democracy and the outcomes, right, and the policies and so forth. But in a primary, it's really low. So in our last primary, 2020, which was a good election year in terms of turnout, only 37% of eligible voters, adult citizens in our state, actually turned out to vote. So we had an overwhelming majority that didn't participate in that primary. That's likely to happen again. We hope not, but just historically, we always see that in March. And that means that you have a very small subset that is very not representative of the population that's going to be making choices for that general election ballot, right, where we will see more people participating. And so just understanding that the ballot that many people do pay attention to when it comes to the general election is chosen by that smaller group. We want to make sure that young people are represented. We want to make sure that voters of color are represented. We want to make sure renters are represented, right? And of course, that 37% is much lower when we talk about voters of color, 22 and 23% for Asian Americans and Latinos. 16% of eligible young people age 18 to 24 turned out in the 2020 March primary. So I think beyond turnout, of course, I'm concerned about misinformation, disinformation. The primary process can be confusing, period, as Kim just outlined really well. And I think in this day and age, in this era right now, we're facing even more confusion around just the information. People are generally information low when it comes to participating. And now it seems to be even harder, right? Many people not trusting the sources, not having the resources they need to kind of sift through what is correct, what isn't. And as we head into 2024, we know that the misinformation that's going to be out there, generated a lot by AI and other sources, is just probably going to make things even more confusing and unfortunately may be the story of the 2024 election season, aside from those who actually, of course, win races. We're just really concerned. So we want to be positive. We want people to be armed with information. We want people to be aware of what they need to do. But at the same time, calling it out in terms of the importance and the seriousness of that disinformation, misinformation that people may be coming across, so they know, right, at least the lengths of which they might have to go to try to sift through and ultimately become and be confident, right, in voting. We don't want anybody to be turned off. Sometimes people don't participate because they feel not only disconnected from the political process, but because they don't have enough information, right? And so they sit it out because they don't want to make a mistake. And we don't want people to feel even more confused or even less confident in terms of participating.
In the spirit of positivity, we have about a minute left. What have you seen in terms of successes of increasing voter turnout, especially among unlikely voters, in the last 60 seconds or so that we have?
Yeah, there is research that shows that we can see higher turnout, right? So when it comes to young people, particularly, but other historically underrepresented groups, any time that we kind of play the what I call the long game, kind of the deeper connect, deeper kind of outreach method. So you really need to make the case for voting. You connect with somebody early on in the election cycle, hopefully even before the election cycle begins. You talk about why it's important to vote. You come back and you revisit that. You connect it to issues that people care about, particularly young people. You want to make it peer-to-peer contact. Young people making the case to young people, and you help people kind of understand not only why the act of voting is important, like your civic duty, but also why it really makes a difference in their own lives and in their communities. And again, you do that over time and you kind of build that case. That kind of longer, deeper connection can make a difference. We do see turnout increase when those methods are used. And particularly for young people, anytime that we can support a young person, bring a young person right to the voting process, walk them through, because by definition, they're new and unfamiliar, it can make a difference in the life course. Voting is essentially habit forming for young people. We get them when they're young, at 18, 19, 20, so to speak, and familiarize them and make them comfortable and confident in the voting process.
Mindy and Kim, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Vicki. Great to see you.
Kim Alexander is the president of the California Voter Foundation, and Mindy Romero is the founder and the director of the Center for Inclusive Democracy. Up next, running for office can feel out of reach for a lot of political hopefuls, and often the candidate pool doesn't reflect the community at large. We're going to look at some programs here in Sacramento that are training the next generation of diverse public office holders. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.